Practice Podcast, episode 12. Practice is about advocacy. We discuss issues related to refugees everywhere in Greece or all over the world. And today we are outside, like you can see, and we are covering the second year anniversary of the Russian invasion. And to be honest, it's the 10 year of war that started with Putin invading Ukraine. So we're gonna be speaking to people, interviewing them, and knowing how they feel, why they are here, and we're gonna ask questions about maybe they have somebody who lived there, or the Ukrainians that they live here, about their lives, and
I think it's gonna be interesting to talk to different generations of people who have been living here in Greece or are now here in exile as a result of the war. And the world is, as Rashid just said, is like the world is paying attention to this day because it's 2 years since the full-scale invasion. But it's been a decade of solid war since the Maidan uprising, the Crimean annexation, and the suffering inside Ukraine has really, the majority of it has happened while everyone was indifferent to it or not really engaging with the issue. And then suddenly, when a full-scale invasion happens, the entire world mobilized as if out of shock. But no one should have been shocked by what was unfolding 2 years ago and has happened over the last 2 years. It's been going on for 10, and we're here to talk to the people to get their take on what has happened and what can happen in the coming months and weeks and to end this war. And so we're going to go in and be part of the solidarity and then also talk to the people to figure out what the solutions are in their perspective.
And don't worry, this is still a podcast, it's still Fractured, it's just we are outside and it's a new thing, so it's gonna be like a documentary. So we wanted to make it more interesting for you guys, and we wanted to be here with the people rather than being in the office and talking to anybody there. No, but we decided to be here so you can have a real clear idea of what's going on, and also people from around the world, they see how Ukrainians here are being in solidarity with the people in with their loved ones.
Як роса на сонці, запануєм ми, браття, у своїй сторонці. Душу, тіло ми положим за нашу.
Spiro, thank you so much for taking some time to speak with us today for the Fractured Podcast.
No, thank you. I'm privileged that I can speak and, you know, pass on my ideas that I've had. Okay, I am Spiro Marcu. I'm an artist from Detroit, Michigan. I've been in Greece for quite a few years, you know, from Greek immigrants. I went to the United States to work. And I've been really supportive in detail more since 2014. She had a Ukrainian friend, she was from Odessa. I was gonna go there in 2012, and then the Russians took over Crimea. But since 2 years ago, I'm much, much more involved, okay? Because it's now or never for freedom and democracy everywhere. Seriously, when people say on the verge of a third world war, it actually is, okay? You can see it, okay?
So what you know, you're saying that you've been involved for the past 10 years, so the decade, so...
Yeah, since 2014, so I would say.
What did this look like in the beginning in terms of in 2014? I mean, our viewers may not know the history of what happened.
Anyways, 2 years. Okay, basically, how it happened and they carried it off. We won't speak about the U.S. at the moment. It's because of the whole thing with Merkel and Schroeder and the natural gas contracts that they had. they didn't want to cause trouble, and she's making these excuses that she was like at the end of her tenure. But no, it had to do with the money, and they let it go by. Okay, and the U.S. did not do anything because Europe could not be united against that. If they had done that then, we would not have had this now. You know, at least 150,000 Ukrainians have been killed in the war, and over 500,000 Russians have been killed, and of course, thousands and thousands of civilians, okay? So, it actually got more, my involvement, of course, like I said, since 2022, obviously. I met some Ukrainian friends, Greek friends that we all support of. At one point, I was here every day on Syntagma Square for about 13 months. I was here speaking to everybody, the foreigners particularly. The Greeks would attack us, at least verbally and sometimes physically. You know, why are you destroying our Orthodox church? The Russians are going to Ukraine to save them, and they're going to come and save us. You know, the so-called yellow race, okay? But almost everybody from other countries supported Ukraine, and it made me feel good. Even from the U.S., from China, Ecuador, Brazil, Germany, everybody is supportive of Ukraine. And actually, I met a diplomat, and he's somewhere in southern, Russian Federation. He said initially, when they made they invaded on the 24th, what was it, 24th, that they got an order of all the embassies worldwide, U.S., to, no matter, in all your statements, you support Ukraine 100%. This is like 2 days after, okay? Since then, I knew that U.S. would not back down, okay? And eventually, Europe would be gotten together and have that unity they do now. And the main unity, forget about all the information and what they say, it has to do with the armaments. That's all they really need, okay? And Ukraine is in probably 10 times better position they were last year militarily. Okay, because they have defense systems. Slowly but surely, they're being trained. They destroyed 1/3 of the Black Sea Fleet, which is unbelievable, without a navy, with the drones. And now they're starting on the Air Force. Okay, and they're actually hitting targets in Russia, you know, with the oil, the refineries. Okay, and that's good. But people are dying, okay? And the only way to finish it is to finish Russia.
So, I mean, at the current moment, we see a lot of tension in U.S. politics with regard to continuing to financially support, militarily support Ukraine. And I'm wondering, you know, we hear the statements from the White House that clarify that we are with you, as we heard earlier tonight from the EU representative, that we are here until the bitter end, no matter what. They will continue to support Ukraine, but we're hearing the opposite, and now you have a lot of resistance politically in signing on to these bills to support them financially.
Yeah, it's part of their political games. It's basically the MAGA crowd, you realize that, and they make a lot more noise than the people who are for Ukraine, a lot more noise, okay? They have a lot more control of the media. There's a lot so-called leftists in the United States that actually almost supported the Hamas terrorist attack. Same kind of people of the so-called good people, okay? But no, they're playing a game with the border thing. It's Trump in the background, but no. Even at this moment, U.S. is hand-in-hand with Ukraine. About 1 week ago, they sent to Ukraine $500 million of confiscated funds, okay? And they did it before $1.something billion, and also Holland did it, okay? They are supporting nonstop, okay? But of course, everybody wants that bill signed so they know they have this money coming in, okay? But the U.S. support will not stop, and it's only increasing. And part of their support is by kind of forcing the European countries to dig into their treasuries and hand over stuff. Germany did nothing for several months. Schultz went to Washington, D.C., spoke with Biden, and since then, Germany's been a huge supporter of Ukraine with money and military aid, okay? And remember, before Biden became president, NATO was kind of like nothing, politically at least. They weren't united because Trump let things go. He didn't really intentionally. It's all because of his ego, really. He wants it to be, you know, his own.
But, I mean, earlier today we were talking about how you have a lot of friends that are inside the East, in Crimea. You've spent a lot of time. What are people saying from the frontline area? What is life like for the citizens that have not been able to leave?
Part of it is they don't want to leave because they think they're they should be there, helping front line. Okay, they should be there. I mean, I even know people have were out for like a year and they went back. People from Odessa, you know. Of course, it's like the women and children, but some of the women are actually going on the front line volunteering now. Okay, what is it like for them? Of course, there's always fear. There has to be fear, right? But no matter what they do, those so-called terrorist attacks, and they are terrorist attacks, it only makes them more decided. They will never stop because of each and everything they do. What we say, we always refer to Bucha, right?
Yeah.
Never forget, never forgive, okay? Unfortunately, I know people, Ukrainians, they're happy when the Russians are getting killed, okay? Because they shouldn't be there. If you don't want to return to Russia in a black bag, leave now. And that's part of it with the Kerch Bridge. At the moment, militarily, Ukraine can destroy that. But first of all, they want people who went from Russia, Russian Federation after 2014 to leave when you have the time. Because they don't want to be killing the civilians that came. Because they're illegally there. And plus, of course, they want Russia to bring more of their armaments into Crimea. They can destroy that anytime. Okay, and we have to be prepared, the NATO countries, what Putin will do. Okay.
When we look at like the live map of the front line of the war, you see this very, very harsh line that cuts down the same line that you saw a decade ago in terms of the resistance to whether Ukraine would sign on to an agreement with the EU. And you can kind of split the country down the center as to which way they wanted to go. And then when they finally like kind of turn their back on it,
yeah,
then you have this like immediate annexation of Crimea, and then you have like the little green men that start
Donetsk and Luhansk. A lot of those, the public opinions or what we know, it's from the Russian media and the hackers. They have an upper hand, particularly in Greece, because the Russian media, 50% of Greeks support Putin. And they think the Ukrainians are using their children as shields, that Zelensky's a Nazi, that Biden's to blame for everything because he wants to make money. This is BS, okay? But it has a lot to do with how that got by in 2014. It has to do with so much to do with Germany. Germany let that go in other countries because of the natural gas and the oil, okay? But of the people that I know and people on the front line, I actually know people like in special forces, I know people on the front line, volunteers, I knew people that are not around anymore. A friend of mine, his daughter got murdered. You know, Yuri's daughter, she was delivering to Bakhmut in a bus with other volunteers, children stuff, and they hit it like 30 kilometers away from the front line and she was murdered, okay? But no matter what they do, they're more and more determined. Even so-called like people, Russian files, like more in the east, like you kind of like implied, Russian files, because you know, they're friends, some people have, they're from Russian ancestry, right? They've completely, the people in the east now, like Kharkiv and this, and Paul, that, they are more patriotic than anybody, because they were so friendly with Belgorod, because Belgorod, the people from Belgorod, the Russians, or Russian citizens, would come in and buy stuff because Kharkiv is like high tech and everything. Now they despise it, and they want to take over Belgorod too.
So what do you think, will we be here next year? Will it be 3 years of war?
It depends on what you mean by the end, right? But every day that goes by, it's worse for the Russians. Of course, again, this is so obvious, Ukrainians are losing their lives, and other people from other countries are helping Ukraine. But every day that goes by, it's worse for Russia. Even a month ago, they cut back on their daily production of oil, of exporting oil products, 500,000 barrels, because Ukrainians hit the refineries, and they will be hitting them more and more. I have friends in Russia, and they say it's a lot worse than it was 6 months ago. Only in the big cities, everywhere else is terrible. Okay, and there's a little bit more dissent on the streets with Navalny, okay, but it's nothing really, because they can't, right? But in the whole setup of Putin, it's falling apart. He killed his closest allies. Prigozhin, he killed, and then another, whatever his name was, another guy there.
But with the actual military situation on the ground right now, it feels like really, really minuscule movements in either side. Okay. It feels very much like a stalemate militarily. Oh, so what's gonna force Russia's hand to kind of like let it come to an end?
Not quite a stalemate. On the ground, as in per meter, yes, but no, because they destroyed one third of the Black Sea Fleet. They're hitting targets. They downed like 10 airplanes in the last 2 weeks. Okay, and the Russians are, it's like 1 to 5 probably. It's terrible that we have to speak like this, that we have to, you know, put in math, but that's how it is. And in Bakhmut, the Wagner group was completely destroyed. In Avdiivka, at least 20,000 were killed in the last 2 months of Russians, and maybe 3,000 or 4,000 Ukrainians, okay? So basically, each and every day, Ukrainians are gaining militarily too, if they're not gaining on the ground. Because the counteroffensive, you know what it was? Basically, they tried too many areas to go in, and they didn't have enough ammunition. It's the ammunition. It wasn't even the air cover. It's the ammunition, okay? And this is why everybody's saying ammunition, ammunition, ammunition. And of course, the West is slow, but it's not so easy. Do you know how many shells they fire? But eventually, I would say by spring, they may reach the Azov Sea from Krynka. Because this time, they're just going to concentrate in one area. It will not be, no. It'll be, compared to next year, who knows really, right? But the support for Ukraine will increase, and the sanctions will hurt Russia more and more. So it'll be better, much, much, much better. But absolute military end. But you know, Crimea, once they destroy the bridge, what are they going to do? Jump in the sea? They're screwed.
I'm saying, like, trying to get a little bit of an understanding from people inside, in the east, in the south, where the fighting is happening dramatically.
More determined every day. More, not people get tired, people lose their lives. But when you see a child got killed, like in Odessa, it makes them more determined. It makes us more determined. Okay, there's always the fear overtaking you, which is the terrorism again. They get terrorized, brutalized, and they give up, which is like the bullying, right? It's like on an international level. But the point is, you just have to be more and more determined. And they're getting more and more aid continuously. Japan's sent patriots to the U.S. that were sent to Ukraine. The missiles, okay. And they announced again $2 billion aid. So basically, they're getting the money that they need right now, even though it's not actually directly from the U.S. Everybody's together. Everybody.
Everybody's together. Take a moment for an anthem.
Hello again, we have Anastasia with us. Anastasia is from Ukraine and she's a student, a very amazing student of Refocus Media Labs. So, Anastasia, welcome with us.
Thank you.
So, can you tell us what are you doing here?
So, today is an anniversary. It is the second year of war going on in Ukraine. And I'm here to unite with other Ukrainian people and people that support Ukraine to remind the world that the war is still going on, that it didn't disappear, didn't end, it is still going on, and I just want to support my country and just remind everyone.
Can you tell us how did you get here and when in Greece?
On the day that the war started, I was in Ukraine and I woke up because of loud explosions. I got really scared. My mom and I decided to go to Greece and we were packing our things and everything. The only like clothes that I had, it was all in my backpack, didn't have anything else with me, just the documents, a few clothes, and that's it. And So on the very first day that the war started, I left Ukraine, and 3 days later, I came to Greece, to Athens. So my mom and I were searching for different Ukrainian groups on Facebook and trying to connect with other Ukrainian people here in Greece. And then we found out about like Ukrainian women in Greece, and they needed some volunteers at a Ukrainian humanitarian aid center just to like give food, clothes, some information. So my mom and I decided to go there also to connect with other Ukrainians, so we don't just stay at home and, you know, watch the news all the day, because it was very depressing. Like the first 2 months here were the most difficult time of my life, I would say, because of everything that was going on in Ukraine. I still could not believe that at that point. But so we started volunteering, and we met many Ukrainian people there. We helped them, and in this way, like, we made some friends, made connections. So it was we were building our lives from scratch here in Athens, because the war divided our lives of many Ukrainian people into before and after.
So, how about you? What's about your life here? Any activities you are doing? Are you studying something?
Yes, I'm studying in the American College of Greece on the scholarship for Ukrainian refugees. Also, I'm studying in a public university, and I'm studying photography courses and videography at Refocus. So, I really enjoy it.
Anything you want to add? You want to tell, maybe someone is in Ukraine watching, can you tell them something? Anything?
I just want to say that never give up your belief, support the army, support Ukraine, and believe that our victory is going to come very soon. Thank you.
Nice, that's it. Eva with us, and she's from Greece, and she's supporting Ukraine here. Eva, welcome.
Thank you very much.
How do you feel being here in the protest?
I'm very happy because we have a lot of people here that are support Ukrainian people against to Russia.
Do you think this way is an effective way to change the situation, protesting and going out?
Yes. But we need to do more things, because Russia is a terrorist that have weapons. We have to prepare ourselves with weapons and to give a lot effective weapons to Ukrainian people to fight against the terrorists.
What do you mean by we? Who? Europe or Greece? You said we have to give.
In Europe generally, we have to make weapons, to make factories and to product weapons, to prepare the Europe and us also for this war.
Are you satisfied how the world is handling this war, the support, the whole world?
Yes. Because a lot of people are with Ukrainian, okay, as an idea, but we have to fight at the same time. A lot of protests, a lot of weapons, as I said, and all this.
What do you, in your opinion, what's the solution for this war to end? What should we do?
Weapons.
Weapons. So you don't think that we can just stop it now and we have like a peace and we talk?
No, because Russia doesn't understand peace or walk or talk. Mm-hmm. We have to fight against him. he goes with violence and take parts of the countries because he can and he has the power. Putin in Russia is a terrorist. We have to fight with real weapons against him.
What do you say to the Russian people who are in Russia? What do you tell them? If they can hear you, what can you tell
them? To resistance to Putin's war and to support Ukrainian people, because Ukrainian people are very important to win. It's about all of us, all of democratic people and all countries, this war, not Ukrainian. As in like an Iranian woman are very important to our lives, because we have the same enemy, Russia. Yes.
So a lot of Ukrainians gonna be watching this episode because it's about Ukraine. What do you tell them, the ones that are inside Ukraine?
Slava Ukraini, we are with you, and I hope you have to win, and Europe and all of us, we have to support you.
Thank you. That was great.
Thank you.
Hello everyone, we have Olga with us. She's from Russia and she's against the war. I can read it from her sign. Hello Olga.
Yes, hi.
Welcome.
Hi, thank you.
So how do you feel being here in the protest?
Well, it's a very mixed feeling, because we are, let's say, on the other side. We are seen like being on the other side. And this is very, very painful for us. In fact, there are a lot of Russians who support Ukraine, who never wanted the war to happen, and who don't like what's happening in our country. And we surely support the Ukraine. That's why we're here, me and my and other people from Russia. I'm not alone. And yes, it's very important for us to be here, despite the feeling that other people might have against us. Because many Ukrainian people, they share, again, different feelings. Some are loyal to the people like us, and some, of course, don't want to say any word, and don't want to be by our side because they lost their relatives, friends. They see their country being destroyed, and for us, it's very hard to be seen as aggressors, and we are really not. Many of us are not.
How do you think the world is handling this war? Either Europe or US?
It's not an easy question which can be answered like in 1 minute. The good thing is that the majority of the countries support definitely Ukraine. So that's the first good thing, of course. unfortunately, it's 2 years already that nothing could be really done to stop it. And we still see casualties. We still see people dying. We still see Ukraine cities and civil people being bombed and killed every day. So it's not ending. We still see Russian young guys, and not only being sent to Ukraine as per their will or against their will. So they are being killed, they are killing. And it seems that the current ways are not helping the situation. And our opinion is that the key of ending this war is the key is a falling of the dictatorship, which is now in our country, in Russia. Until this regime falls, this will continue, because it seems that no one is eager to stop the flow of the people, like the military people, to Ukraine. As many are sent there, as more weapon is needed to kill, to stop them, and it's never ending. So somehow the world should open its eyes and talk more about what's really happening inside Russia. They don't talk much about that. It's not popular to say these things. Many countries who have lived through dictatorship and dictatorship regime, okay, sorry, they know how it feels when your rights are suppressed, when you cannot speak. The world was expecting and was saying, like, why Russians are not going out, why they're not saying this or that. Well, like, maybe we realized too late some things, you know, in the majority of people realized quite late what was happening in the country. But there was always an opposition. There was always opposition there. And people opposing the regime were treated in a very hard way, put to jail. Had their families, you know, threatened, had people tortured, and year by year it became only worse. So now it's very hard to do anything from inside the country. And the more people in the world will realize that, maybe the power of this crazy man who is in power still, maybe it will be losing itself. Yeah, what I wanted to say that unfortunately we see that in many countries there is still a very big support of Putin. And it's very surprising, despite the fact that, well, we all see what he's doing on behalf of the country in the other neighbor country. There is still a big support, and many people see him as a kind of savior, someone who is opposing West and bringing something different, you know, these kind of myths that exist. But these people maybe should ask themselves, if you want to change the world, if you want to do something different, maybe he has a cause, I don't know, okay. But do you need to go and to kill people in another country for 2 years? Do you need to kill people inside your country to suppress them? Is this the way to make a change? Is this the example? Is it the example that people who say that they support Putin, is it something that they would want to feel on their own skin? I don't think so. But there are very few who ask this question to themselves. Well, we are in Greece now, and there is a big majority of people who are fans of him, of Putin. Well, it would be a subject for a very big different discussion, but it's amazing what things sometimes we hear. They don't realize. They say that Putin is liberating the other country, the Ukraine or the whole world. So if you ask them, would you like him to come and liberate you the same way? If a rocket hits your house or your family or an island, okay, whatever. Here, would you like that? Would you like this kind of liberation? You can go out to the streets here and talk, and it's fine. And I can go out and express whatever I think. Even I'm crazy, I don't know. I'm not put in jail for this. In Russia, you cannot do that. Yeah. and they don't realize that. So how it's connected with what with the today's day and what is happening in Ukraine? It's directly connected, because the more people are suppressed in Russia, the more power he feels, and the more men will be sent to Ukraine to kill Ukrainians, and it will not be ending. So I don't have the answer exactly what the world should do, but definitely something should be a new view on the relationship with this guy should be imposed, let's say.
Many people in Ukraine are going to watch this episode, so what is your message to them?
Well, Slava Ukraini, first and the main thing, and I'm sure that sooner or later Ukraine will win, and only the best future is waiting for this country. I hope it will become super industrial country with all the best technologies and all the good things that can be there. But I just hope that the war finishes as soon as possible and less people and the people stop dying. This is the most important. Well, I don't know. I have a lot of things to share, but we just want for this war to stop, for people stop dying, and for the justice to take place. And justice means a lot for both sides, actually, the good justice and the justice for the murderers. Thank you, guys.
Thank you so much.
I mean.
How is it in Ukraine, people ask? There is war, I answer. And when will it end? The whole world is waiting for a peaceful solution, as if we should just come to an agreement, finally give up the lands to the occupiers and live in harmony, as if it there were a computer game or a long and boring game of chess. But for us, it means giving up our parental home, to let the people who remain in occupation to be tortured just because they are Ukrainians. And to continue to run to the bomb shelters 3 times per day, to live in constant fear, to read obituaries every day, because Russia will not stop. How often has this country followed the peace agreements? The war will end only with Russia's complete capitulation. What can we do here in Greece, the common people? Help the Ukrainian army to stand strong. Spread Ukrainian culture and history. Tell people that Ukrainians are not Russians. After all, the first thing the occupiers do is burn Ukrainian books and import their own. So don't tell me that Pushkin has nothing to do with it. Giving up everything Russian is the least that each of us can do. We will survive if we are united, and now we are united as never before. Each Ukrainian word, each lesson in Ukrainian school, each parcel with humanitarian aid, each joint prayer, each sincere conversation with Ukrainian people is a step towards victory. So we invite you to unite and support each other.
We're back here speaking with Alexandros, who's a Greek national.
Right.
Here,
right, in Athens, yes, right.
And you were talking a little bit earlier to us about your own personal connection to Ukraine.
Yes, so my wife is from Lviv, Ukraine. She's been in Greece for about 20 years. We have 2 daughters here. We've been traveling to Ukraine regularly, especially for the last years. I have seen there how the progress is made, and how people have been trying to get away, you know, from the Soviet past. And 2 years ago, the war began. Everyone was shocked, including us, of course, including my wife. And the only way that we could feel better was to try and help people that are in this pain now. So we started by visiting the refugees that came here in Athens. They were in Elefsina, in a camp in Elefsina, something like 100 people that came here. So we went over there, we started giving them food that we collected from others. We started providing toys for the kids because they had nothing. Some biscuits because kids had no biscuits, no sugar, nothing. So we started like this. And then we created something like a chain here so that we collect help from people in Athens and all over Greece in general. And we supply this help to Ukraine.
So you're getting a lot of you're basically on the Greece side. You're gathering all of the items that are supported. But then, where is it getting to? How is it getting to the people inside Ukraine?
So the problem is that we don't have the means from the embassy to help us send these things to Ukraine. So we just try to find someone who goes to Ukraine, like people who are doing regular transportations to Ukraine. So we give one card box to them, and they give it to the people that we send them, that we tell them. And as soon as this box reaches Ukraine, then they can send it anywhere with Nova Posta, which is the Ukrainian mailbox service. So we send people to Odessa, to Kharkiv, to the front directly. So after we send these things, the people from the front, they are sending us back photos with the things as proof of receipt, you know. And it's amazing because you see that what you're gathering, what you're trying to do, is actually making it to the target.
You said your wife is from Lviv originally,
yes, yes.
But she now lives here in Athens,
yes,
with you.
Yes.
When was she in? Was she in Ukraine? In 20 years ago, 15 years ago, when you really started having a push for Ukraine to shift towards Europe.
Yes.
And what was that like? Has she ever talked to you about those times?
Yes.
The Maidan Revolution, the Orange Revolution.
Yes, yes, yes. So she has talked to me about the era, the Soviet era, basically, and how difficult things were. And she has talked to me about the thing that people in Ukraine are trying to go away from that past. They're trying to learn English. Especially if you meet now young people in Ukraine, they know how to speak English, and they want to travel, they want to be free, they want to be part of Europe. So she has seen this difference, all over these years.
I mean, in the beginning of the war, we had spent a lot of time inside Ukraine getting humanitarian aid in. Our organization, Refocus, was part of reporting from the border inside Poland as well as inside Ukraine. We have been to Lviv several times to work from there, and at that time it was relatively safe, but we also were there during a time of several bombings and air raids. We still have our air raid app on our phone. It still sounds off when we know that things are happening. It's a difficult thing for us as just as individuals who are engaged in the issue, but I'm sure for your wife it's a very intense experience to be away from home.
Exactly.
Would she ever choose to return? Do you guys have any interest in going into Ukraine now?
So her mother is going there regularly because she has brothers and sisters over there. She has relatives and she wants to see them, no matter if war is happening or not. And my wife would also be there to help. But the thing is that we have two young daughters, so she can't really leave them, and there is a kind of a risk. You know, if you go there, you don't know what's going to happen. But it is what you say. I mean, even if it happens once, you know, if you hear a bomb coming, then for the rest of your life, you've been waiting for something like that to happen again. So it doesn't feel safe to be there. And we know that we are at home and we have calls from our relatives in Ukraine. Her friends are calling, and we hear the sirens. It's a really a very bad experience, of course, for here.
We've been speaking to a lot of people today about what they feel is the solution or how will this end. What do you guys think? How does this war end?
Yeah. So we have seen in the past that going a step back as Ukraine doesn't help, because when Putin got Crimea in 2014. And people didn't resist, didn't do anything about it. We saw that after 8 years, he wanted to go deeper in Ukraine. So this can't be the solution, like negotiate and stay where the borders are currently and find a solution. I think that the West has to provide more means so that the war ends by beating Putin. There's no other way, I believe, to end the war.
When the war started, the full invasion started 2 years ago, there was a very large call for a no-fly zone for to protect people from the bombings that were starting and that were happening. And that this was something that was seen as like a red line that we couldn't cross as NATO countries, because then that would mean that NATO warplanes would be needing to enforce that no-fly zone. But the bombing continues now. It hasn't stopped. It continues in Kherson, in Kharkiv, in Lviv, in Kyiv. Like, it's not just the front line that's being terrorized. So what do you think is going to... Do you think NATO needs to step in and get involved and close or have a no-fly zone? What do you think should happen?
I certainly feel that NATO should step in and create this no-fly zone, because it's all about bombing regular people like us. And imagine us here in Greece being in a position that Turks are bombing us and no one help us. I believe you expect someone to help. You can't believe that this is happening and no one is stopping this. So I believe that NATO should step in, because until now it's only Ukrainians who lose their children, right? They are paying the price of this Russian aggression that is not about to stop in Ukraine, and we all know that.
And in the previous conversation that Rashid had with a Russian citizen,
yes, I heard it.
And the message was, what would you say to people in Ukraine? What would you say, and what do you think your wife would say to people in Russia right now?
Just open your eyes and protest, because no country can decide for its future if they don't protest and if they don't fight. You've got to stand up and fight for your rights and for your future and for your kids' future.
Evangelos, thank you so much. It's a pleasure to meet you and to speak with you, and send our best to Victoria.
Thank you very much.
We're here. We're here in Athens with Tatiana Kolesnichenko, who is from Adrum. It's an arts and culture organization from Ukraine, and they're here for the Generations exhibition, which is talking about 10 years of art that's come out through the time of war. But I'd let Tatiana say the remainder and give a little bit more of an understanding of the work. And it's really, really amazing stuff that we're seeing inside. We would just love to hear a bit more from you.
Thank you. Thank you so much. I'm really happy to introduce Greece public with this exhibition, which is concluded from the many, many works. And now we have here in Athens 50 works of them, of children and adults, and behind each work stays a history of person, of child, of his or her family and surrounding, because now authors of these pictures, they are living in Ukraine under bombardment, hard bombardment, very often bombardment, and in the conditions of war, but which you can't understand it. And I hope you never understand it. What is it? It couldn't be explained. But we try to spread these feelings through the art. This is the main idea of this exhibition, to show to the world suffering of people, first of all, of children, it's innocent people who are suffering because of evil in the world. And we're fighting, we're standing, we never know that it happens with us. But from the first days, from 2 years ago, when I was awaked in Kyiv from the bombing, and I was shocked like everybody, I started to move some movement to do something for my country, for my city. I wanted to be with weapon in my arms, but I can't shoot, you know. And I understood that I will do what I can do better. I, all my life, I do some cultural projects, and I'm doing cultural diplomacy for many years. And I, with my staff, with my colleagues, we organized the International Art Festival Paint UA War from the in the first week of war. First of all, for Ukrainian people, children, like art therapy, because they were in under shocked surrounding, and they were painting, and they through this art, they just, you know, becomes a little free of these awful things. And after this, we understood that it's also art evidence of war, because yes, we have photo, we have video, because the 20th century war, actually this is the first war what we have in the world, what we have in online, you know, in just in broadcast, like, but also we have evidence in art, and you can see this evidence through this works of these people. And what I want to say, one more thing, it's very interesting that during the first year of war, we people send us only very, very painful pictures, you know, where we feel the awful things of war. But on the second year, we started to receive works full of joy and hope and love, because people were tired about this, you know. Mm-hmm. And it's very interesting and very brilliant and strong quality of people to sublimate our pain in beautiful things, in beauty, in art, you know. It's amazing, and it's necessary for us or for all people. To sublimate, to transferring our bad things what are surrounding us, the transferring and transforming them into love, into joy, into all beauty. And only such way world can survive, you know. And with Ukrainian people, with all people, with you also, we tried to survive, to make this world better. And actually we cooperate our association for development of international relationships, ADROM. We cooperate with more than 30 countries, and we made for 2 years of war, we made dozen exhibitions in different countries, from USA to Japan, many, many countries. And it's, you know, I'm very happy that in the second awful anniversary of war, but exactly in this date we are here in Athens, and you can imagine how we support this exhibition that this is here, how it's great is supporting for authors, for people who is authors of pictures, because they know that now we are here and people are looking of this, and that their art is in the, you know, basement of art of the European history. And I'm very grateful for you, for Greece, for Athens, for our partners, for Trimbita, for Western University, for people, for surrounding, that you accept us, you help us. And I want to say that people, everything, every thought, every word, every emotion, every deal, everything helps to world, or to survive, or to death, to be dead, you know. So everybody from us, we influence on this world. I'm sure of this, and I I experienced it many times about this. Everybody from us and every little or big things of everybody of us influence all the world. So let me again say big thanks to you, and of course great wishes for peace and love and all the best.
Thank you so much. It's a pleasure to meet you and to see the work and to learn more about the collective effort that has been put together to make this possible. And, the artists that we work with that are from our Krakow lab, who are Ukrainian, the teachers and the students, they started with an anti-war poster campaign. That was their first graphic design workshop. And then the next year they said, we need to do something other than war. And they said, we're more than war. And they created the Ukrainian alphabet, and then each letter was a different graphic design. And then the following year was trying to showcase the way that Ukrainians were living in Poland and living in other places and trying to move forward, but then not forget what was happening, to use their skills to change hearts and minds. And so I think our organizations are very kindred spirits, and it would be wonderful to work with you again in the near future.
I hope, and we are very open for cooperation. If you know some gallery, some space of art, open air or like inside, we can very fast to organize something from Ukraine and for my staff. It's for several days because we can do it, because we have great, you know, basement of this. We have great experience when we have that our instrument, how we'll do. So if you say something here, you just let me know and we can do it, because really this exhibition, it was very hard. It was almost 9 months. Greece authorities transferred something like this, not for with our side, but with that side. But it's the main that we did it. And if just keep in mind that we can cooperate in any direction of art or sport, or we have a lot of connections in Ukraine and over the world. So keep in mind.
Yeah. I think it would be wonderful. We could maybe have a group show.
Yes.
Collectively showcase work together.
Maybe.
We have a basement full of art. Literally.
Maybe, so. Maybe, of course. So yeah. Just write me, call me. I'm open person, yes, and I'm in touch all
Tatiana,
time.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Героям слава. Thank you. Thank you, guys.
So that was our episode. And a big thank to our guests for this night and to the production team, all of us here. And see you in 2 weeks, exactly 2 weeks, okay? Please help us, support us on Patreon. Go to our website and see all our movies and the stuff we did, our activities. Support our labs everywhere. And we have a lot of products on the website, t-shirts and everything with our logos. And that's it. See you.
Camera is rolling.
Yeah, I'm continuing to roll.
And you know how Sonny is always saying, see you in, I don't know, like, she's always like closing the episode with something about, we'll see you in 2 weeks, or like you just say, see you next time. So that if for some reason it's not 2 weeks, then we're okay, right?
No, go on.
Or do you want to have it always say, see you in 2 weeks?
Two weeks.